Here's a hot question to start the Friday broadcast here. My co-host, Dan Sheridan, is back from battling the demons of the political world. How are you doing on that anyway, Dan? You hanging? Are you surviving, sir?
I am surviving. There is nothing more difficult than dealing with political matters when you know what the future of politics is.
Yeah, if you loved politics, if you thought that politics was the salvation of the world, human politics, then I suppose you would love your job every day. But unfortunately, you have the knowledge that it's not.
Exactly. That's
ignorance can be bliss at times, I really believe.
Yeah, I think it was a Martin Luther who said he felt he was the only person before he was he saw justification by faith. He thought he was the only person who really understood hell.
Yeah, I get it.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, why don't you lead us into 1 Corinthians 15:35?
Yeah, we've been talking about this idea of what is mankind, and we learned that he is soil. But there's a question asked in 1 Corinthians 15, and if you don't have a copy of scriptures, hit pause and go get it. But you got to follow along on this because this is important. In 1 Corinthians 15:35, Paul says this, "But someone will be protesting, not asking, but protesting. How are the dead being roused?"
Hey, wait, I got a question for you already. I wonder why people would be protesting. Why would this question be a matter of protest? How are the dead being roused? I mean, I guess maybe I'll try to answer my own question and then let you answer.
Go ahead, answer
away. The Corinthians were denying the resurrection.
Yeah.
Am I getting close there?
I think you're right. I think what was going on is they were following the teaching of the Sadducees that there's no resurrection.
That's why they were so sad, you see.
That's right. Sad, you see. Oh, nice one.
Thank you.
We're going to save another broadcast for biblical jokes. Yeah, so that is the answer. That they were facing the same teaching of the Sadducees that there is no resurrection. And, of course, today we have another problem. And notice it says some, because the prevailing thought of the day among religions was the natural immortality of the soul. That sudden death meant you're somewhere. But here's another group and that was teaching that there is no resurrection. And I think what happened is a lot of these Sadducee-type people started to see the ridiculous of Homer and all these other idiotic writings. So they went the opposite way and said, we ain't going to embrace that stupidity. Mm-hmm. And again, actually, that's what happened in Greece. Homer was so ridiculous. That was almost like their copy of the scriptures and quotes, but it was so full of ridiculousness that others started saying, okay, let's have a little more rationality here. So they went so far the opposite direction, and they said there is no resurrection. And see, that's what happens when you leave God out of your philosophy and you embrace that stuff. You go other extremes. If you leave God out, you're in trouble.
Yeah, bad form. Look at the next question here. It's interesting how these Corinthians who are so ignorant on this topic at least recognize this. Now, with what body are they coming? I mean, we know that the resurrection is corporeal. I was taught in the Catholic Church that you just become some wispy spirit. And that we are in essence spirit. This actually follows the false teaching that our essence is spirit rather than a body, rather than flesh, rather than soil. We don't abandon our bodies in the resurrection. Our bodies are changed. These bodies are to be changed, but the resurrection is as real as you can imagine, which is a comforting truth to me. I don't want to be a wisp. I like having a body.
Right, the common conception of death is that you and I, when we die, we become some kind of spirit form or something
cloudy-like.
And that's wrong. We are going to be as real and alive and touchable as Jesus Christ was in his resurrection. Handle me and see, he said.
I love it. I love it. But, you know, of course we teach that his glorified body was different than the body he showed up with when he was eating, sufficient
Sure,
ships.
yeah. I mean, there was the glory, and it's interesting, you're going to get into that here in 1 Corinthians 15, because as you, where we started when we asked the question, as you go down to verse 41, Paul talks about the various glories of the bodies that God has made, and that is how it is in the resurrection of the dead. When Christ rose from the dead and walked around with his disciples for 40 days after his resurrection, that's how he is going to appear with the Jewish saints in the coming
yep.
day. How yep. he appeared to Paul on the road to Damascus is how he's going to be with us, members of the body of Christ. There's differences in glory. Same Savior. We have one Savior. There's one expectation for all of God's people, that's Christ. But the different roles that we play in his Aeonian purpose require different bodies and different glories.
Amen. And there's one common denominator for both of these in verse 36 of 1 Corinthians 15. This is the verse that humiliates humanity. What you are sowing is not being vivified if it should not be dying.
Yeah.
Wow. That's huge. I mean, there it is in one sentence. I often get mad at Paul for not exactly saying what he means sometimes, or not being able to put something succinctly. He sure does it here.
And that's part of the humility. What you are sowing is not being vivified if it should not be dying. That's the present body we have right now.
And we're sowing it every day. I mean, as soon as you are born, you begin the death process. We're actually dying at, you know, life is a long string of small deaths, and this is so humiliating to me. It really is. We spend millions of dollars trying to fight looking old, but no one has ever found the fountain of youth. That's what everybody wants with Botox
exactly.
and all this. It's just humans rebelling against this horror, this nightmare. This is
exactly.
a nightmare. The process of death is a nightmare.
It sucks. There's no other way to put it. Paul, Genesis 3 says, dying, to die you shall be dying. It's a process. And the whole, everyone's trying to cover up the fact that they're dying. We have to get hair club for men to get rid of the grays. You have to get your hair colored. You have to get Botox, breast implant. Everything that a person can do, they're trying to prevent the humiliation that God himself has put us in. We are trying to somehow stop the process that we cannot undo.
I have a theory that underarm deodorant was invented to mask the stench of death. Now, I don't want anybody to get the wrong idea. Don't throw away your
please
deodorant.
Please wear underarm deodorant, please.
Please, please, do not throw away your underarm deodorant. This is just a theory that hasn't been tested. We will submit it to laboratorial exploration, but for now, we hide this death with perfumes, with deodorants, with, you know, sprays. It's like, I'm fine. No, you're not. No, you're not. The spray wears off, and you're in the same shape you were. We just put it out of our minds. My God. I mean, everybody puts it out of their minds. Nobody wants to think about it. Paul's looking it straight in the eye here, and we have the answer. We have the answer. Christianity doesn't have the answer. Their answer is this death thing that's so horrible that we're talking about that is eternal. Okay, if you hate funerals now, wait till you get to heaven, folks, the Christian version of heaven. It's going to be an eternal funeral for all the people in a dying state of suspended torment, whatever the hell that is.
No, you're wrong, Martin. That is not how Christianity teaches
Good.
It. Christianity teaches, here's how they actually teach it.
Okay.
There is a funeral going on for eternity because death is forever in modern Christianity.
Okay.
However, when you get into your glorified state, when you're in resurrection and you have perfect love, you'll be so callous to the suffering of others you won't think about it. That's
Christianity. I missed that part.
That's what they teach, that you, when you get into glory, do you know what these old theologians used to say and some of the modern preachers do? That if you and I all went, if we went to heaven right now, our heaven would be lessened if there weren't people being tortured in hell. In other words, when we get to heaven and we have perfect love, no more sin, we are no longer going to look with sympathy on creatures who are suffering. We're going to delight in it.
Okay,
that's
so what you're telling me.
That's the perfect sanctification of modern Christianity.
That sounds lovely. So what you're telling me is that when humans cry at funerals now because they're sorrowful, because they miss their mother, their father, their child that is laying in that terrible box.
Yes.
So
yes.
You're telling me that when we're resurrected and everything is lifted to a higher level, that sorrow, that empathy, that missing of our loved ones is erased. It's gone.
Yeah.
Oh, what a beautiful message that is. No wonder they call it the good news. I had no idea how good it was. Death is
and
eternal.
Of course, we
oh,
are being sarcastic in the fact that we know that's an absolute lie. It's falsehood. The good news is that death isn't eternal. The good news is that it's been conquered at the cross and will be conquered in each individual throughout in history, in the coming future, through the various resurrections when God is through the process of the abolishing of death. That's
Amen.
The good news.
Amen. I can't help but think that's a high point to end the week on here. I know we got a lot to do in 1 Corinthians 15. This passage is loaded. As we go through this, we're going to be bringing in other verses that are commonly used to prove, air quotes, that the dead are really alive. We're going to take on all those verses. We're going to show you what man is. We're going to show you who Jesus Christ is and who God is. These things comprise the big picture, and without the big picture, you get lost in the trees.
That's right.
Listen, Sheridan, if I don't talk to you until Monday, have a good weekend.
Have a great weekend, and carry that happy thought into your mind that Christ is victorious over death, and it will work for everyone. Everyone.
Amen. Folks, we'll see you back here Monday. Thanks for being with us.